This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Listen, all you New Yorkers.
It's the Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
One more hour to go with you. 888-808-1019 is the number. You can always hit me up at HoffWFAN. And don't forget to download the Odyssey app. If you missed anything at all from the past 4 hours, download that bad boy and then hit the rewind button and just go listen to it. Starting at 12, we hit the Matt Stafford debate. I think around 2:30, we hit the Bill Belichick debate about whether or not he should marry his 24-year-old girlfriend. 888-808-1019 is the phone number. Listen. It's going to be, once free agency hits for NFL, it's going to be ridiculous. There's so many there's so many players that are going to be either available free agency, trade market. It's going to be crazy. And I'm curious to see what names come through New York. I really do. And now, listen, we've talked about the quarterback situation of who I do not want to come to the team. Listen, in the end, they have to try to win, and that's the goal. So if they think Stafford's going to be the best to give them the winning record they're looking for, then that's who they're going to go for. But I hope that they bring in then a quarterback in the draft as well to train under Stafford. I just really don't want to give the draft picks. Again, I like what Joe Shane did last year, and I think he could go back to back, have two really good draft picks in a years in a row. So I'm curious to see what he does. But as far as what's available, there's the Myles Garrett who's available, the Cooper Kupp who's available, obviously Matt Stafford's potentially available, Deebo Samuel is potentially available. T. Higgins is going to be a free agent. I mean, there's so many names now just popping up left and right. And then here's the other thing, too, is Aaron Rodgers. Where is he going to go? He's not coming back to New York unless somehow he goes to the Giants, which that I don't see either. Where does he go? I think the one team that actually may surprise everybody, which is weird, too, because if he's going to... if they're looking to trade Deebo Samuel, that's the 49ers, to bring in Aaron Rodgers would be weird unless they're bringing in Devontae Adams too. To trade Deebo Samuel is weird to me because, again, such an impact player. You look at the 49ers, you look at what they were, when Deebo's hurt, when McCaffrey's hurt, when they don't have their offensive weapons, they're not as good. And this year they had a lot of injuries. But when Deebo Samuel's healthy, McCaffrey's healthy, I mean, they're unstoppable. To put a Rodgers on that team, which is at one point in time something they were thinking about doing, I think it makes a lot of sense. And Devontae Adams wants to play on the West Coast. And they are open, Adams and Rodgers are open to playing together again. So I think the two top places are San Francisco and Vegas, because I keep on hearing Vegas and Pete Carroll. And again, Pete Carroll's in there for a very short-term amount of time. But I think he's open to bringing in a quarterback for a short term, too. I mean, Pete Carroll's not going to be there for like 10 years. Let's be serious here. Pete Carroll probably has got like about 5 years under his belt that he could do. Even though he looks like he's like a young 73 or whatever his age is, he looks young. But he's not going to be there for a long time. We know that, right? But you bring in Rodgers, you bring in Adams, which would be funny because Adams just left the Raiders, but now you got Pete Carroll in there. Be interesting to see them together. I feel like Adams, like there's rumors that Rodgers may just retire, right? Because he's kind of done. The market's not big enough for him. There's not enough teams that want him. Okay, fine. I think that Adams and Rodgers are going to wind up together. I truly do. So I think Rodgers is going to be on the West Coast, whether it's L.A., Rams, that is, Rams, whether it's the Raiders or it's the 49ers, those are the three teams I'm thinking. Those three teams. Could be Seattle too, but that's probably unlikely. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to these phone calls. Ralph is in Bradley Beach. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, Pete, great show. I'm waking up and I hear you talking about Nirvana. I'm 71 years old. I lived in Seattle when the Screaming Trees came down. I was
let's go.
I thought you were Richie Neal. I'm saying, I've been away for 5 years. I had a bad diabetic attack, and I lived in the West Coast traveling. But I heard you talking. I'm going, are you kidding me? Met them a bunch of times. I used to hang out down in Danceteria. Been a lot of places. But I just want to bring up, you're talking about sports, and you got me excited. So when you're talking about the Giants, now, I believe I want to go down, get the Penn State linebacker, get another Ole Miss quarterback in the second round. Bring him in, do what you said with Stafford, because I don't think I want Shadur, or I would love to have a running quarterback.
Sure.
I don't think I want to give up. This linebacker from Penn State is a killer. I mean, you put him beside, I mean, number five, I think it's a wasteland. I don't think.
Well, they're three right now.
Cavani, I don't think Cavani, I think it's a wasted draft. Or think what we could have had. But I've been a fan. My father used to take me. I go back, Homer Jones, Y.H. Hiddo, I was at Yankee Stadium. I have dreams with my father, how he brought me there, and unbelievable stories.
Honestly, Ralph, my father was just literally talking about Y.H. Hiddo yesterday. He was telling me about how he was just, I forgot what game he was talking about, but he was just reminiscing about Y.H. Hiddo too. So it's very interesting. But yes, continue.
What part of Long Island? Are you from Long Island?
No, I'm from Westchester. I got some relatives out in Long Island, but I am a Westchester guy. Family's from the Bronx. Yeah. And I went to Yonkers, lived in Yonkers for a long time.
I'm an old, but I got a great story about Mother's Day. My mother-in-law is 101, right? She's in Ocean Grove, nursing home, right across the street. So they had a big birthday for her, right? Still smokes the vape and drinks wine. She sings Italian songs.
Let's
go. It's unbelievable. So I'm at the nursing home, right, Pete? And, the love, people forget what these people had. So I talking to her roommate. I said, can you tell me a story? So she's 83. Her name is Agnes. Irish woman, from Massapequa. So she tells me how she used to see Mickey Mantle, Rizzuto. I'm like, Yogi Berra. And, my mother-in-law is not a baseball fan. I'm sitting there going, people pass by people on this great, Valentine's Day. And she's telling me stories. I'm going, and she's alone. Nobody sees her, And it made my day. I say, you pay it forward, And I'm like going, she's telling me stuff. And she wrote this beautiful story about meeting all these players with a father who was an iron worker. I'm like going, isn't life something? I'm 71, and I was in a bad diabetic situation. People say, I coached 50 years on the island, mostly CYO and stuff, little high school. But when you think about the stuff that people waste at reality TV. And I picked up, I'm listening to you, I go, wow, this guy's waking me up. I'm waking up and go, they're talking about Nirvana? I said, who's on? Richard Mier? I'm going, this guy's legendary. I'm going, the Screaming Trees. I met him out there. And I'm like, so this woman was telling me stuff, and she's got no family. And my mother-in-law's 101. A lot of people know. And my stepdaughter works at the home. She just got there. It's like an amazing thing. But the story she was telling me, I go, look at this. I pick up something every day. It could be from an 18-year-old. You know, I'm old school, like, kids taking jerseys because they like the colors. I stick with the Giants, win or lose. My brother breaks his leg. I'm not going to leave him, man. The bandwagon thing kills me. All my Dallas Cowboys fans. How you doing a Dallas Cowboys fan? You know, I know Sal. He's a good guy. Talking Atlanta and stuff, but I go way back. My teams go way back. Ranger fan. You know, Esposito, them, used to train by me in Long Beach Arena when they were out there, you know, in Long Beach. And I have stories about Duguay, and it's just an amazing thing. And I'm trying to go to that Ranger Island games. But you talk show guys, Sal and everything, it amazes me, your knowledge. I'm saying, you know, I tried. So on WFAN, on Facebook, I just won Fan of the Month. So
you did?
Yeah, I did.
Let's go.
People say, yeah, so what show?
No, I said, good, let's go. That's awesome. Congratulations. That's
yeah,
great.
But, you know, I never knew what it was, and they showed me, oh, you're the number one fan. So people wondered, I'd been away for a while because I've been so sick with the diabetes. I was in a low glucose coma, and then so I'm back.
Well, that's like not good, Ralph.
No. But they over-medicated me, Pete. So now they were giving metformin 2000, and I was like on the couch, right? So all of a sudden, I'm just exercising, listening to this nutrition doctor, and back to the gym. And I'm back in the road.
Let's go, Ralph. Radio. Listen, great phone call. Great job, Ralph. I'm glad that you're all right. Hang in there, pal. Let's go to Scott, Long Island. What's up, Scott?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Hey, I just had a quick question about the tournament that's going on in the NHL, the All Nations tournament.
Sure. The four, well, not the all, not the, is, it's not the All Nations, it's the Four Nations. Let's get it right.
That's right, man. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all
why is there only four nations involved? I was unsure. I didn't hear anything.
There's an issue with Russia, Ukraine. You know, so they're basically like only doing four right now. It's not a great idea. Not saying it's not a great idea, but it's just it is what it is, you know.
And then yeah, no, I understand. And then B is why the two venues? Was it home and away, or is that why? Like, why TD Garden and the Montreal?
I think it's because they want to try to, like, you know, spread it out. They want to have, you know, they clearly want to have some Canadian love. They want to have American love. It is, you know, NHL affiliated. So basically, they're trying to keep some. I don't know why they're only keeping it to two. I mean, I'm surprised that they didn't try to put more venues around. But yeah, they definitely wanted to at least have a Canadian spot and an American spot. That's for sure.
Well, anyway, thanks for having me on, and go USA.
Yeah, and listen, to Scott, real quick, they said that the what I'm reading right now is the reason for the only four nations is to ensure enough NHL players are available for each roster. So that's their cop-out. But I do believe that it's because there's certain things going on, and they wanted to limit to only four. Whatever.
I bet there was actually a lot of NHL players that really wanted to play in this, were dying to play in this, and then you know they couldn't. There were only four nations, so
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. I listen, Scott. I appreciate the phone call. I mean, listen, it's gonna be what it's gonna be. I don't really like the tournament anyway. Again, it's not about like all rooting for your nation. No, I like that stuff, but I just think it's bad timing. I think it's awful timing. 888-808-1019. Kevin and Copeg, what's up, Kev?
What up, Pete? I caught your shot at BT today. You made me laugh. You're like, yeah, it's a good lineup in 2019.
Yes, I did. I did do that. That's what I do. Listen, and to be fair, there are times where you could look at a team and say, wow, that is really impressive, you know, and I think that BT is And to his defense, like last year, Anthony Rizzo wasn't good. You know, Paul Goldschmidt, they believe, is going to be a lot better than he was last year. Last year, he struggled, but the Yankees believe that he's going to find something, or he has found something, and he's going to be a lot better to be closer to his MVP-like self. So, I mean, there's certain aspects to understanding why, you know, BT believes it. But on the other hand, too, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's 37 years old. You know, bringing in Arenado is a guy who's got a bad back and is 35 years old. You're talking about Giancarlo Stanton, who's only getting a year older. Same thing with Judge. Bellinger, you know, again, hasn't really been an MVP since 2017, 2018. So, there was a little jab to him. But it was, you know, trying to be cute about it, but there is some truth behind it.
I'm so pumped, though, for our Mets. I mean, I think since 2006, we had, Delgado, LaDuca, Beltran coming in. We were all excited, but there's so much excitement with this season. And, of course, there's when you got all these expectations as a Mets fan, you're like, you don't want to go to that place.
Yeah. No, I am very excited about this team as far as, listen, the fact that Pete Alonso came back, completed the roster enough where I feel good about going into the season. I didn't feel good about going into the season if Pete Alonso wasn't around. Now, the bullpen I feel comfortable with, surprisingly. The rotation is where the issues are, where we're sitting there asking about, like, how reliable is Cannon going to be? Is Frankie Montas going to be? But I got to be honest with you, I'm okay with taking these little risks, and if they stink, they either get cut, or they go to an IR, or you bring up a young kid and you test them out. Like, that's kind of the whole process here is David Stearns is testing out these young kids and seeing if they're going to be good enough. They need to find some young pitching that's going to be good enough to be at a major league level. So you bring in these young kids, Griffin Canning, you bring in Frankie Montas, you even bring in Clay Holmes. Check it out. Listen, if Clay Holmes don't work in the rotation, you throw him to the bullpen. That's great.
I mean, I'm thinking about the deadline, though. Like, year after year, these big pitchers go to the Dodgers, you know, other teams. We never make a deadline push for a starter. There's going to be starters out there. I mean, we're really in dire straits there at the deadline.
Well, I mean, listen, and thanks so much for the phone call, Kev. I'm not really sure what's going to be at the deadline just yet. Obviously, who knows? If San Diego's out of it, clearly they're going to be trading players, but how much are they going to be asking for guys, you know? But again, they got to be out of it. What other teams we're talking about? I mean, think about teams that are not going to be doing well this season. Like, we assume the Rockies aren't going to do well. We assume the Marlins aren't going to do well. The Marlins traded away Lizardo. They don't trade with the Mets. Is Alcantara going to be available? That's an interesting one. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery, though. You got to think about the teams that are going to be looking to trade off players, what they're asking for, and are they willing to trade with us? Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn real quick. What's up, Stuart?
Good morning, Pete.
What's up, man?
You know, the trade deadline, they don't know. Neither team makes a big push, really. How many times have we seen the players that they go from team to team during the trade deadline?
No, I mean, I feel like in recent years, there's been some guys that have moved around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Juan Soto moved around a couple of years ago to San Diego. I mean,
then he moved to the Yankees. Yes. A year later, he moved to the Yankees.
He played with San Diego for a year and a half.
Right. And then he came here, and now he's with the Mets. And, you know, the Mets got a good team, but like you said, the starting rotation is a little bit suspect.
It is.
It's suspect. In the Yankee rotation, Carlos Rodon doesn't have to be the number two now. They got Max Fried, and I would say Rodon would be the fourth or fifth starter. And, yeah, I think they should keep Marcus Stroman for insurance policy, because there's always injuries, right?
Yeah. 100%, Stuart, and thank you so much for the phone call. I 100% agree with that. That's what I've been saying. Like, it doesn't make sense to just be like, oh, just get rid of him to get rid of him. First of all, Marcus Stroman, I don't think he's as toxic with his teammates as some people may think. I know that he clearly has toxicity on social media with some people. And I do know that Marcus Stroman is someone that is a lightning rod with the media. Like, it's certainly like that question that was asked earlier or yesterday to Marcus Stroman about, how about going to the bullpen because starting rotation is pretty much set. Like, the first day that's what's going on there. Like, he's thinking about warming up. He's thinking about getting ready. He's not thinking about, oh, I'm going to the bullpen. Like, he's trying to make the team, but he's going out trying to be a starting pitcher. That's what he does. So, yeah, I understand the backhanded question. Like, hey, you're a bullpen guy now if you're going to be with the Yankees. That's basically what it was told from the reporter. And he wasn't ready to hear that. So I get the fight. I get the pushback. And that's who he is on the mound. He fights, man. No matter what you say, no matter if you like it or not, Marcus Stroman loves to fight on that mound. He goes out there and fights tooth and nail on the bump. But it doesn't always work out. That depends on the defense, which is why I guess in some way you do want to bring a Nolan Arenado in, because at least he shores up a better defensive third baseman over there. But again, he's also got the back issue, so I don't really know. Shoulder, back, whatever they were last year. He's gotten a few issues over the years. Neck. It's starting to be a problem, and I don't know if that means that he's going to be able to play the position as well going forward. And it's not a one-year deal for Nolan Arenado. It's a three-year deal that's left. So 888-808-1019. Joe, Sean, stick around. I'll get to you guys after the break. We got about 35 minutes or so to play with, and then Richard Neer takes over at 5. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan for another 31-ish minutes until Richard Neer takes over. Again, you can always hit me up at Hoff, WFAN on social media. Call 888-808-1019. And don't forget to download the Odyssey app. Let's get to Joe in Staten Island. What's up, Joe? How we doing?
All right. What's up, Hoff? No way anybody should want Stroman for the role that the Yankees need him. Traditionally, you need a younger guy with potential like Luis Gil, Clark Schmidt, Michael King. They do anything. They spot start. They fill in if somebody's injured in the rotation. You can send them up and down three times during the year. They come out of the bullpen. They keep their mouth shut. They don't complain on social media or any media. This is the role that you need. Stroman, he's not good for that. He has to have a spot in the rotation. Like last year, I was fine with him. This year, he doesn't want the role the Yankees need.
Well, let me ask you a question. And I know you're saying that they don't have a role for him, or the role that they have is not what he wants. Why can't they just keep his role as a sixth starter?
Because he's going to tie up a spot where you could have a guy who might come out of the bullpen. He won't come out of the bullpen. What if there's a doubleheader and you need another arm? You can send this young starter that I'm talking about who's, there's always young starters down ready to come up.
I know, but I got to be honest with you. I don't trust any of them. Like, who do you rely on? Like, I'm not saying that you have to rely as far as, like, oh, this guy's going to be the next, Andy Pettit or the next whomever. We're talking about a guy who's going to come up maybe once, twice a year and maybe give you a solid outing. And, okay, maybe there's some rumors. Maybe he gives you another second game. And then he gets him back down if he gets shelled. But, like, but realistically, like, I'm not
talking about that type of guy. I'm talking about guys that are forecast to be starters in a couple of years. You get them going. Like Luis Gil, like I said, Clark Schmidt, Michael King. I'm not talking about guys
Do you know any on the Yankees that are ready to do that? Exactly.
No, we're gonna see in the spring training. There's always one or two guys that say, "Wow, I really like this guy. Yeah, he's definitely got a great future. He's got throwing 98 and." You know, there's always a couple of guys that come up, young guys that come up in spring training and start showing themselves.
Yeah, well, it's spring training. They better show up. They better look good. I mean, they're fighting for a role. They want to get a job, dude. So listen, I get what you're saying, Joe. No, I'm not denying you're right. There's prospects in every organization. There's going to be someone that comes out of nowhere. You're going to get excited about it, but like. Spencer Jones, we just talked about, had a really good spring training last year. He was nowhere to be found during the regular season. Like, he never got called up. And I know that's a hitter, but he never got called up to the bigs. You know, he just wasn't ready. Like, it happened. Spring training.
I don't want a guy who's going to tie my hands. He's tying my hands. I can't send him to the minors. I can't put him in the bullpen. He's going to complain to the social media or regular media. I don't want a guy... Send him somewhere where he's definitely going to start so he can try to get his 160 innings. He'll be happy. And also, you know the way this guy is. He dies in the second half. I don't know why, but he does.
Well, but maybe think about this. And, Joe, I don't disagree with what you said about dying in the second half. Think about this. If he's somebody that it could be productive in the first half, maybe you can find better trade value for him if you give him some starts early on and then trade him. Let's be serious here. The only reason why, and Joe, thanks so much for the phone call. The only reason why Marcus Stroman made any comments about his role is because he was asked about it. And he wasn't asked, hey, how do you feel about, you know, going into the season? You know, and he goes, well, I'm just making sure that everyone knows I'm a starter and I'm not pitching on the bullpen. They asked him, hey, looks like the starting position is basically taken. You know, are you ready to pitch in the bullpen? And he said, no, I'm a starter. So, like, the way we ask these guys questions, he's answering them. He could have just avoided the question and say, yeah, no comment. No, he answered. He said, I'm a starting pitcher, dude. 888-808-1019. Sean is in Brooklyn. Sean, what's going on?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Thanks
for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
Yeah, I just got back from work. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the Mets lineup. They took a big offseason. A lot of people are saying it's going to be Lindor, Soto, and then either Alonso or somebody else on third. But I really think the best top three of that lineup would be Lindor, Vientos, and then Soto. I mean, Soto, when he was in San Diego, he always batted third, if I remember correctly. And even when he came to the Yankees, he said that batting second was kind of new to him, something he had to get used to. So I think having that power third and then Pete batting fourth, I feel like that's really the best top of the lineup.
Here's the thing is, and again, I actually agree that that's my lineup, except I've reversed it. I go Lindor, Soto, Vientos, and then followed by Alonso, and then either Jesse Winker or Starling Marte, and then at the fifth spot, and then I go Nimmo at six. But here's the reason why they've put the best hitter at second in the lineup. They believe that they get up, they get a bunch of at-bats. They'll get at least, you know, they get more at-bats because they're second in the lineup rather than third or fourth. They believe that they get more opportunity with runners in scoring position. And they believe that they're most effective there. Like, they're average, their batting average, their hitting. It just all, it is in favor of the batter that's batting second base, batting in that second lineup. So it's, to me, I understand your point. Like, hey, get him third. Maybe Vientos gets on base, and that's another guy that he can drive in. But for some reason, studies show that second spot in the batting order is the most productive, so you want to get your best player there. So that's part of it. Now, either way, I agree with you. It should be, whether it's Lindor,
Soto, Vientos, or Lindor, Vientos, Soto. Those are the top three. I want Vientos protected at all costs. I want him surrounded by a bunch of talent, whether it's Lindor, Soto, Alonso. Those three guys have to be smothered around him. Now, I know a lot of people said that they want to see Alonso get some extra help, get that extra, you know, get some protection for him. But I got to be honest with you, like, Alonso's got to figure it out on his own.
Yeah, especially after the year he had last year.
Yeah.
Vientos is the one who deserves the protection. Mashing.
Yeah.
Mashing.
I agree, Sean. I agree. Thanks so much for the phone call. Listen, we're so close to spring training games. We're so close to starting to see some guys, you know, hit the ball. I'm looking forward to seeing Vientos, how he performs. I do think, and I said this before, and I don't know if I said it in the Rico, but I definitely said it on air with BT, and he laughed at me. I can envision Mark Vientos turning into a Miguel Cabrera type of player. Now, listen, there's a big difference of Miguel Cabrera when he came up and what Mark Vientos is now. When Miguel Cabrera came up, his first year wasn't all that great. I think his batting average was a little bit low. He didn't hit for all these home runs, all this other stuff. It wasn't until the next few years where things started to click. Mark Vientos may never be a 330 batter. He may not be that type of guy. He may bat 290, 300, but guess what? Like, in nowadays, that's great. That's exactly what you're looking for someone like, you know, batting average-wise, you know? And the only reason why I compare batting average-wise is because Cabrera was that good of a hitter. Like, he was just a great, wasn't just about power. It was he found ways to get hits. It wasn't just solely home runs. It wasn't just doubles. It was everything. He was always getting on base, and he was a good contact hitter. He had a lot of power, too. That being said, I could see Vientos turning into that, especially with them talking about him going to first base. Like, if he goes to first base, I could see him bulk up more and turn into that big power hitter. Now, whether or not Vlad Guerrero is going to be around or Pete Alonso is going to be around, we'll figure that out. But I could see them potentially putting Vientos there at first base, and that just kind of happens. And again, the one thing that he was always spoken very highly about was his bat. He could hit. And last year he did. Last year, not even a full year, he hit 27 home runs. He drove in a ton of 70-something RBIs. Like, his numbers were super impressive for someone who came up and really didn't start playing until about May 28th. That's when things started to change for the Mets. That's when he started hitting. That's when he started playing full time. So think about that as a comp, Miguel Cabrera. Now, I don't know if anybody else has said that. I know I've said that. And if he turns into Miguel Cabrera, we got something special on our hands. We got a Hall of Famer. 888-808-1019. And Pat, Dominic, I will get to you guys after the break. We'll wrap it up on the phones. 888-808-1019. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoff with you on the fan for the next 14 or so minutes until Richard Neal. Let's get to the phones. Pat Suffren, what do you got, Pat?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much.
Hey, there's a couple things. Which high school in Westchester did you go to? Which high school did you go to in Westchester? Did you go to Eastchester?
I went to Stepanek. That's where I went to high school.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm from a Rockland guy, but we became into Section 1, and we got to, you know, play those teams. Gotcha. Real quick, couple things about, like, I don't want to belabor the whole Belichick girlfriend thing, but Belichick and Nick Saban, those guys, when they got out of that, you know, the coaching, they both, I just think they, you know, so much likability there. I mean, I don't care about Belichick. He just seems so much more like human and personal and you know, and Saban, I saw Saban on the draft show that year.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it was him. He's talking, and like I'm a wrestling guy too. He's like talking about how he liked the guys that wrestled in college and high school. It was amazing. But I think it's kind of cool how both those guys have sort of loosened up.
Yeah, they show personality. They show a little life. They show, like, it's funny because you're right. Like when they were coaching the teams, they are very buckled up, and then all of a sudden, like as soon as they're done coaching for like a moment, all of a sudden it's just they have a personality, and they don't have to hold anything back. That's what that's where it comes down to. They have nothing to hold back.
Yeah, plus with Belichick, if the wedding's in Nantucket instead of Austin, Cincinnati, it's Austin, Nantucket. But I just want to ask you something about the baseball. Do you think there's going to be a tipping point? Like, I listened to this sports talk. I talked to, I think it was Emmanuel once, but it just seems that in New York, we're in this bubble. And the rest of the country, they got these teams that really, really, come on, they can't compete for us. They can't compete for the big stars. They can't compete for a World Series, really. You think something's going to happen where, like, some of these small market teams are going to try to move to some place where maybe it's not a big market, but maybe they can generate more revenue or something? Because I really think it's going to be a time for change.
Well, Oakland's moving to – where are they moving to?
Yeah,
I don't know. Vegas? I have no idea.
Good point.
They're talking about not just realignment, but they're talking about expansion too. Like they're talking about adding two teams.
Because I was really thinking more of like contraction. Like, okay, these guys can't compete.
That's the issue, Pat. And thanks for the phone call. They can compete. Like, there's not one owner that is sitting there, you know, crying poverty. Like, they own a baseball team. They own a baseball franchise. And I know we haven't really touched on it at all, but like the Giants are opening up 10%. To, you know, 10% of the Giants to a buyer. Like, hey, who wants in? Who wants to put in this type of investment? And I think it's going to be like $750 million for that 10%. Well, it's up to 10%, I believe, to be part of the Giants, you know, group or whatever it is. That might be a thing going forward. It really might be. Like, someone was telling me that. That's kind of, they do that a lot in soccer. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's more of a trend. And again, like, I don't think that like the Reds, the Pirates, the Rockies, the Braves, not the Braves, the Rays, the Marlins, like, I don't think these teams are like terrible with making money. I just don't think they're terrible with putting it back in. That's the problem. And they don't want to invest, and they want to make a profit. And in order for them to make a profit, they will make the team and the franchise suffer and hope that the scouts get it right, and hope that the analytic department can get it right, rather than going and saying, hey, you know what? We're going to sign a big name this year. We're going to have a big offseason, and we're really going to go forward and try to get, some top players in here to our franchise. But they don't do it. Like, Paul Skenes is a great player. At what point in time does Paul Skenes go, I don't want to be a Pirate anymore because this franchise is not going to win? I am really good. They are not, because they don't want to invest. And he's going to get offered a contract because they will offer him something, and he's just going to say no. I mean, but that's on the Pirates. That's not on baseball. It's on the Pirates, unless baseball steps in and say, you have to spend this much money. And that's on baseball. 888-808-1019. Dominic's in North Carolina. What's up, Dominic?
Hey, good morning, Pete. I just want to make a point about Hoffman. What am I saying? I want to make a point about Stroman.
Yeah,
but
I am Hoffman.
Yeah, I know. I screwed that up. But you raise an interesting question about the economics of baseball. And you're right to an extent. They can generate more revenue from, say, venture capital by selling 10% of the team. But ultimately, the problem for baseball in small markets is the revenue from broadcasting is changing over from the RSCs And the streaming money in small markets is not going to be the same. And that is a potential cliff for baseball, and that's what I think they're all afraid of. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops in the next 5 years. You look at MSG's already bankrupt. MSG, for goodness sake.
So
it's going to be interesting to see how it develops. But I want to say about Stroman. Stroman was always an arrogant guy who couldn't get out of his own way. And Stroman, at this point in his career, he's 33, like your previous caller Joe said, he dies in the second half. Stroman is a classic swingman at this point in his career. Could hang around and make good money for 5-7 more years, being a good swingman. It's killing me. I can't remember the name of the swingman the Mets had a couple of years ago. He was perfect. But that's his role nowadays. Spot starter, long release, swingman.
Seth Lugo?
Before it was Lugo. Lugo came up as a swingman.
Right.
But then there was another guy after Lugo left that they used that role, and he had a fantastic year. I think it was during the run. I'll Google it.
We'll just Google it now. Yeah.
But that's what Stroman should be doing. But he doesn't. He's always been this way his whole career. It's disappointing because he's a classic example of a good talent who got diluted by his own arrogance.
Yeah, listen, Dominic, thank you so much for the phone call. The thing about Stroman is, you're right that he sometimes gets in his own way, but it's not as bad as you think. A lot of his off-the-field stuff or a lot of his antics, you know, he's an emotional player. So that's all based off of if you don't like his emotions. Like, he's not going out there and picking fights, and he's just kind of like this gritty, grindy type of player and pitcher. And some people can stand it, some people can't. I mean, listen, he's not going to go out there and strike out 200 people in like 150 innings. He's not doing that. He's a ground ball pitcher, you know. He's looking for the defense to pick him up a lot more than anything else. And when the defense for the Yankees isn't very great, everything suffers. So that's part of the problem there. I didn't like how he showed up Gleyber Torres last year. I'll admit that. But I also don't think that his teammates are bothered by him or any of his quote-unquote antics that we talk about. I don't. I don't think they are at all. So I think our perception of him is a lot different than what it is with the Yankees. Now, listen, there was a time where Stroman would never sign with the Yankees because of what Brian Cashman said about him. And then what happened? They signed him. So, you know, it's the world works in weird ways with Marcus Stroman. And we'll see what ends up happening because Cashman was very high on his response when it came down to being asked about being in a bullpen, going to pitch in the bullpen. He said, no, I'm a starter. And just repeated that over and over and over. And you know, I give credit to Cashman for going out there and kind of sticking by his guy because they could easily have made it a big deal, and they didn't. And Stroman, again, if you really listen to the interview, I mean, he was asked the question early in spring training. Like, he didn't even throw a pitch yet. He comes in and they're like, hey, so you're basically going to the bench, to the bullpen. And he was, I'm not saying he was taken, you know, thrown off guard, but he clearly was not happy with the question, and he gave it to him. Let's get to final call. Keith in Huntington. What's up, Keith? Keith!
Keith!
There he is. What's up?
So I was going to call you about the Mets World Series chances, which are very high. But after listening to the last couple calls, I gotta be honest. Stroman is the most entitled, baby, sensitive Sally I've ever seen in my life. If I saw him in front of my face, I'd be like, dude, grow up. Collect your $17 million, go to the bullpen, maybe have a drink or two. You're not worth the jersey you're trying to button up.
See, I disagree with that. See, that's the thing is, I will not sit here and defend, you know, everything he says, and I can't.
He's a jerk, man.
That's fine. I'm not going to sit here and defend his attitude off the field,
But what I will defend is his performance on the field. Like, I know that there's the second half of the season haven't been good the past 2 years.
His performance on the field is a 500 pitcher, 4 ERA. Oh my God, put him in the Hall of Fame. Cooperstown.
No, hold on. But look at Carlos Rodon. Look at what he did last year. That's basically the numbers. He pitched to a 3.95 ERA.
Rodon, I mean, I'm not building him a statue either. On the record.
I understand, but I'm just saying, like, that's who we're talking about, though. We're talking about Marcus Stroman. We're talking about Carlos Rodon. We're talking about, Luis Gil, Clark Schmidt. They're all fighting for the same job.
Luis Gil, he won Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's in a different league than Marcus Stroman, in my opinion. I never heard him complain once. Marcus Stroman, he goes to the ballpark, all he does is cry.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
And Carlos Rodon, but this is the reason why I bring Carlos Rodon up, is because that is a guy that Marcus Stroman is basically battling with. Carlos Rodon, what he does very well, he strikes out guys. But
you know what Stroman does well? Cry.
That's fine. So does Carlos Rodon. I don't understand what you're talking about. Do you ever see him whine and moan on the mound? Thanks, Keith. I guess that's it, Keith. They both do it. So when people tell me that Marcus Stroman doesn't have value, I think you're wrong. I think that he has a lot of value, actually, especially in today's baseball. He does. Maybe he doesn't give you 200 innings, but he gives you enough. Thank you very much to Jack Cardi. Thank you to Marco Belletti. Thank you to all the callers. Thank you to everyone that hit me up on social media, @HoffWFAN. Thank you to my wife, who I saw yesterday, and we had built a great puzzle together. And her birthday was on Thursday as well. So happy birthday, Nicole. Richard Neer is coming up in about 30-plus seconds. I will see you guys next week. Hit me up @HoffWFAN. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. See you.
Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.